Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
Well, good morning, everybody. If I've not met you yet, my name is Tom Hypes, and I happen to be the pastor here at the church, and it's good to have you in the house. This is a little bit, let's try to hit our guests up with this to give them a fair notice, but it's a little bit of a different Sunday for us that we're going to start out differently. I've got some things to share with you guys for about the first half hour, and then we're going to dig into a normal church service. So just so that you are aware, it's a little different today, but just a few things. If you are a guest with us, we would love to be able to touch base with you and dig in with you. This is our QR code if you want to scan that bad boy and connect with us, or there's connect cards in front of you in the back of the chairs around you that you can either scan or use that, just put in the offering later on today to be able to connect with us. It does a few things. It lets us say thanks for coming and hanging out with us. It gives us an opportunity to honor you and your visit by giving $5 in your name to Spire Ministries here in town that helps people in need. And then also get your free gift card, Right Now Media, which is an online Bible study tool that's free to you, even if you never come back again. As long as we have it, you will have it. But it's kind of like Netflix for Christian Bible study. So we wanted to make sure that we hit that up front. And for those that normally come, make sure you check in, make sure you share out. And so everybody can ride along with you for what you've been looking forward to all week, me talking about Rethink. It wouldn't be bad if it wasn't an elder. It's like, what kind of jacked up church is that? For those who have been around, you know that we've been in a season called Rethink since the beginning of the year. And basically what it means, just the short version of it, is as a church, we're just putting everything on the altar before God and saying, what do you want us to keep doing? What do you want us to get rid of? What do you want us to add? What kind of things do you want us to tailor? And we're doing that through a lot of conversation, a lot of prayer, a lot of study together. And within that, one of the things that we're doing is we've been having these potluck discussion groups after church, usually about every other week. They're about to ramp up to every week for the different topics, because we have like 13 to go through, where we brainstorm and we discuss, and just everybody's a church family, has a voice, and we're just kind of working it as we go. We had our first one 2 weeks ago today on outreach and evangelism was the topic. There's, I think, 13 total different topics that we're going to be covering. And it was a great group. Again, we have a potluck and we all hang out together and really dug into it. It doesn't just stay there. Then the Elders Plus team digs into it. The Wednesday night Bible study digs into it. And I want to show you an example. I'm not going to do for all the groups that we have, because that's kind of what the fall's for. But I want to show you an example of what happens from that brainstorming to the end. Because if you're just coming and like you're hearing about the brainstorming and you're getting the picture of the brainstorming and the ideas, the impression would be that that's all we're really doing is just coming up with a bunch of new ideas, which we can do, quite frankly, through surveys. And it's not like we're hoarding for things to do. You know, those type of things. But my fear is if we do the brainstorming, we do the meetings, and then we get to past the sabbatical time in June and July, and I come back and we start digging in, that the impression will be, okay, when are we doing my idea that I was really excited about? Like, that's really what it kind of boils down to. The brainstorming is just that. It is ideas and whatnot of things that we can do and look at as we're going through this. But we're also learning things through your input that are deeper than that, that's much more impactful that we're looking at overall. So I want to give you an example of one, just so you have a feel for that, and we don't have a wrong impression as we go into it. So as we got into the evangelism and outreach standpoint, there are several things that stood out through the input that's coming out of those. And so I want to go through those with you. The Elders Plus team identified some things that we should talk about as a church family as well. And so this is just kind of where it's at. When you go through all the brainstorming, all the discussion, there are things that become very aware about us as a church family. First off, and this is not surprising, we've always been a relational church. We've always been caring more about the relationship than taking and having a certain number or having certain goals, that kind of thing. We've always been a relational church. I remember our original slogan was casual, contemporary, challenging, was our original slogan. Right now, if you look at our sign out there, it's a relational church. If you look at our T-shirts, it's a church for us misfits. I mean, it's all about the relationships, our relationships with God and relationships with one another. And so while that's not surprising, it does come up over and over again that that's very much a part of our DNA. And why is that important? Well, if we're planning outreach events, or if we're planning events even just as a church, are they relational, or are they just kind of something that we're just doing? Well, in case we want to keep that bar there, that it's building relationships. Along with that is identifying, again, it makes sense, but kind of solidifying. We really strive at events for 60 or less people. Why? Because we get to talk to people. Why? Because we get to build relationships. We have had events of 600, 700 people. I'm thinking like the Easter thing that we did at McKinley Park a couple years ago, had 600 people, had a great time. Everybody was running around like with their heads cut off, and I mean, it went really, really well, just planned really well. But there was really nothing relational to it. Where if we have smaller events, that's where we can get to connect with people and meet people. Not because we want to be the biggest church in town, but because we care about relationships. You see how that builds on it? We had it's already prevalent that you guys love the trunk or treat, and we're never allowed to take away the trunk or treat or someone's going to get a gun. But trunk or treat in the fall, and the kids come through. We've had where several hundred kids came a few years ago, and we had years where there's only like 50 or 60 people come through. And you know what? I can tell a huge difference when it's only 50 or 60. As we're laughing, we're joking, we're getting to meet people. Kids are playing on the playground. Again, when we get the gazebo out there, having people out there, and they're relaxing and staying instead of just being processed in 10 minutes and then right back out the parking lot. So we know we're relational, but in all honesty, in listening to you guys, I don't know if I want to do a bunch of events that's just about attracting 500, 600 people. I want to tailor what we do as the Spirit leads, and it seems like relationships, that's another thing that comes out of that. So do you kind of see how we're seeing some of the things behind the scenes? Monica talked about, she was all passionate about getting me some help on getting the social media done. To be honest, I don't need help with the social media. I know, because you ever have those tasks where like your kids want to help and you're like, it'd be so much easier if I could just do this instead of trying to explain to you what I'm trying to do. You know what I'm talking about? Not that you guys are the kids, but I am the dad. No, I'm just kidding. But it's just one of those things, like a lot of the social media I do in 2 hours on Sunday night, and a lot of that comes out of like special programs that I have and those kind of things. So it's real easy just to schedule those for the week and be gone. But here's what we identified in that meeting we badly, badly need. We need, if we're talking about outreach and evangelism, Share that stuff out. It's so easy. It's not scary. No one's going to reject you for it. You know what I mean? It's like the least intimidating outreach that you can do. Not everything, because I'll be honest, we put a lot of stuff out. But if you think it's going to encourage somebody or invite somebody, then those are the type of things to do. So we talked about that some. Talked about child participation. And I'm really glad we did. I'm really glad we got into this, because it helped us formalize some things. And also find some common vocabulary and things that we need to express as a church when it comes to children participation. It came up with the different events that we have that I promise I get better later, Larry. I'm teasing. So it came up in the meeting about like, so let's say we're having a craft day, and we do have two people right now that have been working on doing a craft day that just need to get me a date sooner or later. What about having the kids participate in the craft day? Like looking for events that the kids can participate within. And I love that idea. We've seen it with game nights, but maybe not other things. And we talked about that's great, but it's not something that the staff or the people putting things together are always going to think about. So as parents, we really want to empower you to be able to come and say, hey, with this event, is there a way that we can do like crafts for the kids so that they can be learning how to crochet or those kind of things? Yes, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome, but it's also going to be out of the normal scope. So again, as a family, We talk about those things and incorporate those things. And then we talked about the difference, but like, what about events that don't, are just not kid-friendly? You know, like the women's group or the men's group getting together, or whatever the case may be. That's not really children's friendly. What about childcare? And there are some events that we do believe in childcare, and that would be something that gets run through the kids' ministry. So I want to say that we do think about that for different events, but we're a family relational church, and I personally don't have a desire to have childcare for everything, because then we start getting a little bit more consumeristic about what you can do for me so that I'm not disturbed by my kids. And this is talking about a guy who's had two kids. I've run through this twice. I'm not saying this is grandpa and I've forgotten what it's like now. It's just part of the family style. So if we have a concert and the kids can run and be crazy in it, let the kids run and be crazy in it. If we've got kids playing, like the women's group, men's group, and those kids playing in the orange room and whatnot, and they come in and say, Daddy, I need something, or Mommy, I need something, that's good. To us, we want it to be like we go to a family event, and the kids are playing stuff, but they can interrupt. The kids are still part of it. Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. We've got, if you're not familiar, like Wednesday nights we have an adult group, a youth group, and a kids group every week. And so with Ash Wednesday, that's a pretty heavy topic for little kids. You know, that's like a little weird or whatnot. So the first 15 minutes, it's a half hour thing before adult Bible study. Sandy's going to take them to the kids group, talk about it on their level, and then they're going to come in and watch Sandy go through Ash Wednesday. Or if parents want them to, it's like communion, it's up to the parents. Want them to, they can. And then in 10 years, they're like, oh man, I remember when we used to go to Ash Wednesday. I remember when we did communion. I remember when we did this. I remember when Mom used to go to a women's group. Some of my favorite things that I participated in was a kid, and I was probably annoyed about half the group. Like, I'm older now, I can annoy all of you guys at the same time. But then, like, I remember going to a Wednesday night Bible study, adult Bible study in the house, laying on the floor coloring. This is probably sixth grade, and they were talking about like a demon-possessed person. And I'm like, wait a minute, how did the demon get inside the person? Does it go through the nostrils? Does it go through the mouth? Like, how does that work? And my mom's like, Tommy, shut up. And the guy's like, no, that's a good, let's dig into this. And I remember feeling valued for that. And I remember getting outside the box with that, with adults. We're very family style. We do have certain events, like VBS or Sunday mornings, other children's events that we have that are very much designed for you to come and drop off your kids and let them be ministered to and blessed. And then pretty much everything else is designed to be family style. And so the reason I say that is because we've had this once, I think, before, and others have seen it in other environments that they're concerned about. We've had people drop off little kids and then leave for a game night. No, we're family style. We need Mom and Dad there, too. We have nobody to watch your child. We don't want to. One of the concerns that we talked about is assuming that those who volunteer on Sunday mornings, who pour into our kids, love our kids, are there to take care of them all the time. That's not a correct assumption. They're doing what we've asked them to do. And so family-wise, we want to be together. So some things, again, are designed, bring the kids, drop them off. Some things are not. But family style is very, very important to us, and there's a lot of benefit to it. So I was glad we were able to drop into that a little bit and talk about that a little bit more. A couple other things. Like I said, I'm just wanting to make sure that we hit some of the main things here. Three ways to consider participation. We had questions about, okay, so Tom, you talk a lot about, like, let's say we just got done with that movie event where we rented out the movie theater, and about coming and supporting that so that our visitors have people to meet and the people to greet, those type of things. But, like, how do I decide what I should participate in and what I should not participate in? Because you should not participate in everything at the church. I don't participate in everything in the church. However, we need to grow maturity-wise a little bit on how we decide that. I would say almost all of us, when we hear an event, are going to think, hey, that's my kind of thing. I want to be at that trunk or treat. You know, I'm all for that. Or not my type of thing. I think I'm going to skip that. That's generally how most of us think. So it's either, and I'm going to be careful on this so I don't flip somebody off by accident. So you're either like, I'm all in, or no, I don't want to be part of that. Okay, I'm going for this one in a second, but it would never be by itself. Marty, watch me. Okay, so those are usually the two. And one thing we definitely have to get past too is if you actually think of number two, that we don't say, well, I'll pray about it and let you know, and then pray they never bring it back up to you again. Okay, so I'm either in or I'm out. This one, all together now, is maybe, hey, baby, maybe that's not my thing, but I think God wants me there. Maybe that's not my thing, but I think God wants me there. That is something we are really going to start begging you guys to start considering. If you're not supposed to be there, don't come. But there's a lot of times it becomes, gosh, I kind of like to go home earlier. Gosh, I don't want to do this. But you can be doing real ministry. You can be making a real difference. So we're going to start moving to that 3-2 process of things, of how things run. So another thing has come out of that. Another one came out, this was with Heather. And I think it was great. I think Scoville was in on this a little bit too, which is, okay, so now, yeah, it's really not my thing, but I'm going to go. Yeah, it is my thing, I'm going to go. Is you guys, teaching you guys how to start asking, what's my role in that particular event or that particular outreach? Because this is the thing that they identified. If I'm putting something on, or Jessica's putting something on, or Mike's putting on something, our role was going to be, okay, what needs to be filled to make that happen? And then we're going to look for, if it's a trunk or treat, we need people with trunks, we need people that work in the parking lot, we need people bringing chili for the chili thing, right? But how do we fill those spots, those identified needs? And we come to you, and you're like, I don't want to stay in the parking lot, and I can't stand kids. I don't, you know, I can't even eat candy. How am I going to get in that? I mean, but it's just not something that fits you. Well, then as you pray, well, God maybe want me there. You guys ask yourselves, what's my role in that? Because it might not be the roles that we've identified. It might be something that adds something awesome to it. I can't tell you how thrilled I think Jessica would be if she's doing a trunk or treat situation and you come and say, look, this really isn't something that God's putting on my heart, but I love reading stories to kids. What do you think about just like adding a station where they go through these different things, then they come in and I read stories to them and their parents in as ages? Awesome. Awesome. But we focus a lot on the roles that the leaders identified instead of letting the Spirit put roles on our hearts, on who we are meant to be. Does that make sense? So these things are coming out as we're talking about some of those type of things, of how we're going to take them, play into it. Okay, so one last one. And again, I'm not going to do this for all the groups. We're going to do that in the fall. But I want you to have an understanding of where things are driving. I have been asked, again, this is a good, was a Scoville thing, is how, okay, so let's say I ask myself, and yeah, God wants me at that event, let me say that I'm going to do this thing, or let me say I'm at church on Sunday morning and a guest comes in, or let me say I'm talking to somebody at the office that's new, or whatever the case may be. We keep talking about engaging to build relationships. Again, it's not about some kind of method or some kind of thing, but I'm lousy at that. I don't know how to engage people I don't know. So we've been asked for some engagement training. Like, how do I do that? So here I am for a little engagement training. But here's the thing. For me, you guys know me. Engaging with people is my heartbeat, and I don't even think about it. I love meeting new people and building relationships with people. But I've been doing this long enough now that I've had plenty of time to stop and say, okay, how do I do that? Like, if someone's asking for help, how do I do that? So if you're note takers, I'm literally going to give you bullet points. Note takers, hint, hint. They're like, man, I thought we were just getting through this so we can get to normal church. Nope. What are you doing? Monty, I'm glad you're back. Smacker. Okay. Probably the hardest thing for people that I talk to is icebreakers. Of just breaking the ice. We were talking about this in our Elders Plus meeting a couple weeks ago, and I told him, kind of a joke, but it's not really a joke, but like, I was like, here's a method. It goes by initials, just write down H-I. Yeah, I think Andrew was the first one to get it. It's one of those things that, like a lot of things, about, it's not that hard, but it's extremely difficult to start with icebreakers, or just kind of breaking the ice with people. So suggestions, Let's say, we've got to meet a couple of folks this morning. So let's say like a church. Obviously, we don't want to overrun everybody. I think like probably Tim would use this cane if like 50 people came at him. Just ram, ram. Let's get, you're allowed to do that here. Tim, I was talking about you and your cane. You're good. But like to be overwhelmed. But just saying hi, ask, again, I always ask because I'm always interested. How did you even find us? This little church, you know, off of 423. Have you always lived in Marion? I love finding out where people are from. That usually starts engaging some things like, well, you know, yeah, I've grown up here or just moved here. Well, what brought you to Marion? I live in the homeless shelter. What's it like at the homeless shelter? You don't have to be scared about, like, tougher questions and whatnot. One of the things that you need to know is people like to talk about themselves. And it's not because they're cocky. It's because it's a comfortable topic. It's just easy to talk about. And so those type of questions come into play. One of my favorite ones, and doesn't all of us are going to have different things. I love tattoos. I love talking about tattoos because most tattoos, not all, but most tattoos have meaning to them, to the person that's there. And so anytime I see anybody with a tattoo, it's here, I was like, man, I like your tattoo. Would you get it? Why did you get it? And then that usually ends up talking about, like, I only have two that are pretty visible, but this thing is a heck of a conversation starter with the semicolon. If you've ever gone through a suicidal time in your life, you know what the semicolon means. It means the sentence isn't over yet. Life isn't over yet. It's been adopted by that community. And let's see, I was at that place once in my early 20s. My daughter shared her testimony several times before. Where eighth grade was a very hard year for her. And I told her that if you survive this with me, when you're 18, we're gonna get matching tattoos. And 2 months before she turned 18, she's like, Dad, do you remember? Dad? Kinda. Yeah. And then at the last minute, she said it was going to be a heart instead of a dot. And I'm like, yeah. But then on the other side of that is pretty much the same thing, but from a Christian standpoint. Again, for those who don't remember, this is the Hebrew letter for, but God steps in. So this is what life was like, and then God stepped in, and this is the difference he made. It's the exact same thing as this, but just from a God standpoint. Do you know how easy it is for me to be able to now raise the flag about Christianity just because we were talking icebreakers, and now I'm just identified myself as a Christian? Now I just open up talk. And this one here actually meets a lot of people with that because if they know it, they are blessed to be able to see a dad and daughter have that kind of story together. Do you see how that works? But it works with so many different things. I like your shirt. I like your hair. I look at Neil and say, you got a bacon shirt on. I like bacon too. And he said he bought bacon to back it up. He's wearing the shirt and has his bacon this week. My daughter does a great job of it, not necessarily from a ministry perspective, but relationship. I love your hair. I love your nails. I love your skin. She sees somebody, she's on it. There's a billion different things to start with, but just asking them about themselves and then responding. It's called just a relationship. It's just a relationship. It's not as scary as what it seems to be. So the second step is once you kind of broken the ice a little bit, if you're talking about evangelism and outreach, is the part that I talked about raising the flag. Raising the flag is saying something or doing something that identifies yourself as a Christian. If you're not going to live like a Christian, don't do it, because enough people have seen hypocrites in their life. But it basically is just raising the flag. I'm a Christian. And now they're going to be watching you. Now they're going to be watching you. If somebody comes in the church, they're watching to see if we're legit. If you meet them at work or at sports or whatever, they're watching to see if you're legit. And so now you are moving into that evangelism and outreach as far as showing them what Christ looks like in your life. So caring about people the way that you're designed to be. After raising the flag is building the relationship. I call it building currency, but that's more of a pastor thing than a relationship other thing, where they trust you. They've seen that you're a Christian. They're watching. They see you're legit. They're like, okay, I can trust this person. You know, that they're not being a goofball. And then once you build currency, then you're moving into things like invitation. Could be invitation to church. If you're not much of a talker, it could be invitation by talking to them about the gospel and who Jesus Christ is. And then asking the question, if you're talking about from an evangelist about outreach standpoint. Don't be afraid to ask the question. You're allowed to ask people after some, you know, after some time, after a conversation, what do you think about all that? But, you know, if you just told them, you know, when you accept Jesus as leader and forgiver in your life by acknowledging with your mouth he's the Son of God and believing in your heart he died and rose again, then you are saved, what do you want to do with that? Is that something that you want? Well, no, not yet. I'm thinking about it. That's an acceptable answer. It's fully within their control. Right? Yeah, I think so. You want me to pray with you? Yeah. It's a great opportunity to be into that. But I think most of what they were talking about on that particular day is just how do I engage people? Just find common bonds and compliment people, love on people, and be authentic about it. And don't ever let it become a method or something that we're trying to score points or that kind of stuff. That's not who we are, because we have already identified that we are the relational mindset. So all of these things that we're talking about, it's not just about ideas. All those ideas are being captured. They're being shared out. We want to have those things. We're all going to dig into those things. But there's a much bigger conversation going on that you're invited to be a part of. So when we have these lunches with brainstorming today, we're doing kids and family ministry. I think we keep thinking like kids, but it's kids and family ministry and brainstorming and digging into ideas. And I'll talk about that at the end of our gathering. But all of these are going to keep coming in to see who are we, where is God leading us, and where do we need to... the word I want to use is revitalize. Usually revitalizing a church happens when the church is crashing and burning. I like to revitalize when everything's going great. It's much more fun that way, and you can avoid the crash and burn. I'm enjoying this with you guys. I pray that you guys participate in it. But I just want to kind of give you a little bit of a behind-the-scenes picture of that. Does that all make sense?
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500. Or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.